case at the cross. Take your Bible and go to 1 Kings, if you would, with me. 1 Kings, chapter number 17, a familiar passage of Scripture. But I do want you to bear with me because it is something that many of us have heard over and over again and read this passage of Scripture. But without a doubt, there are folks in the building today that have never read through the passage of Scripture, and to take them for granted would not be doing justice here in church this morning. Amen. And do us all good to read through the passage of Scripture again. So I'll ask you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. I want to say thank you to Frank Kelly, who Pastor Frank Kelly preached for us down there. What a blessing. Down in Osprey, doing a great job. Graduate of our college, preached for me last Sunday morning. Pastor Carter last Sunday night. Thank you. Thank you for filling in for me. I've been doing a lot. Pray for, if you would, Salisbury Baptist Temple. I have some things still to do there, close up. We did call the pastor, but there's still some things that I started that need to be finished up there as we make that transition. And just pray for everything to go smooth. You know, they've been talking about Trump's first 100 days, you know. And so when a pastor takes over and does some things, people are watching for a while at the beginning, are they not? And there's things that they left over from the past regime, and there's things for the new one. I thank God for what we have here. Amen. This is an oddity, and what God has done in our transition here. And it's a big difference when they're transitioning. They had no pastor, then they had for a long time, and then had an interim pastor, and now a full-time pastor. And so you pray for them as they make that transition. And just the way they are doing things, and he's trying to do some things to set things decently and in order as well for going forward. And so I ask you to pray for him, if you would. Let's pray now, if we would, before we open the word here and read it. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray that you just guide my thoughts, my heart, my lips today, God. I pray you'd allow me to be your messenger boy, Spirit of God. I pray that you would speak through us. We do not need a message from man, but a message from heaven. And God, I pray that you would just use me to do, again, just to be that messenger boy that you had me, called me to be, Lord. I pray you'd be with your people. I pray there are hearts there, ears to listen and to hear, and hearts open to the Word of God. I pray for people that might be in the building this morning that are not saved. They're on their way to hell because they've never accepted Jesus as their Savior. I pray that today they would put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, you'd bless our time that we spend together. Be with us now. God, I pray that you just help us to take this truth with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is this, and it comes out of the passage of Scripture, is what do you do when the brook dries up? What do you do when the brook dries up? You know, many a time that we can go through this life and we don't think that bad things happen. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, this is not the brook drying up wasn't the worst thing in the world. To be honest with you, it's what the prophet had told Ahab the king would happen. So it shouldn't have surprised him. And as believers, can I just tell you, the Word of God tells us a lot of things that will come to pass in the last days. And when they begin to come to pass, why is it that we get shaken in our faith when God just simply does what he said he was going to do? When things become unstable in the end days and we're looking for the return of Jesus Christ, why should we worry? We should jump for joy and realize and mark it a sign that Jesus is coming again. What is very odd to me is Christians that get so settled in this world and hear that this world is their home, and you get shaken because you don't want things to be shook up. I don't know if anybody reminded you lately, but heaven is better than here. Jesus is waiting for us. The streets aren't paved with asphalt, and I was in the Northeast and full of potholes. All right, the streets are full of gold. There won't be a pothole in heaven. It'll be right and tight, and everything will be the way it ought to be. Now, I don't know if we'll be driving 80 miles an hour. I think I'll just think where I want to be and be there. Now, you think what you want, all right, but I'll be right when we get there, all right? Now, we're going to get to heaven, and what does it say? That he's prepared a place for us. That means I don't have to worry that there's a place for me to enter into and have a rest. He says there's a better rest prepared for the saint. So I don't know what's going to be in my mansion or in yours, but I know in mine there'll be a lazy boy. Amen. And it will have just the right, you know, I'll kick the recliner back and it'll sit just right for a little while. And I think I can not only transport me, but I'll be able to transport me and my lazy boy to wherever we're praising and singing praise. Amen? Because that's rest. Doesn't it sound like rest to you? Just not sleep, but I'm just going to be in a comfortable position and praising the Lord. Now, we can laugh a little bit about that, but we do, as God's people, get worried about what's next. What's happening? When the creek dries up, what do I do? Can I just tell you this morning that God has it all under control? That He is in control of the affairs of men, and that you and I could try to, at our best, give our all and change everything, but God's will be done just like He said He would. All the things that are going to come to pass are going to come to pass, just like the Bible says it does. But I believe that God's will is for people to be saved. I believe that God's will is for us to work till Jesus comes. I believe God's will is for us not to accept the spirit of Antichrist, but push against it with the Holy Spirit of promise until Jesus comes for us. We ought not lay back and wait for it to happen, but we ought to press towards the mark for the high calling of Jesus Christ. Every one of us ought to have a fervor about us until Jesus comes, because the next step is rest. But many times we're caught not with a fervor to go forward. What do you want now, God? But we're staring at the dry brook going, "What, God, you can't take care of me? God, you've left me here all alone?" Can I tell you, if we're not careful, we look like the Old Testament Israelites in the wilderness. When there was no water, instead of trusting God to deliver it, we're crying and crying and crying. It would have been better if we just stayed. No, listen, do you know nobody, when they get to heaven, is going to be saying it'd be better if we stayed on earth? Nobody in what we consider, and a lot of people talk about as the promised land, it's when we keep making these laps in the same old place. And we don't think about this world spinning round and round, but I've not done 40 of them, I've done 50 of them. And I'm waiting for Jesus to come, because what He's got next is better for me. What He has next for you is better for you. And if we just came to the place where this world keeps turning round and round, trust God to take us to the next step. I want you to see in the scripture, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inheritance or inhabitants of Gilead, I'm sorry, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Can I just say that the man of God, he goes down to Ahab as he's commanded of the Lord and makes a proclamation that it isn't going to rain until he says it's going to rain. And I don't know about you, but again, that was judgment, trying to get the attention of the enemy, if you could, the king who was not doing God's will. Can I just tell you, there's a lot of things God does on earth that tightens things up with finances, in this world, water. We could go through the list of things to get people's attention. We serve a God who's in control of everything, and He is going to tighten up things so that people that are lost can clearly see that God is real and that it's got to be Him. They understand that He's a real God who is not, he hates evil. He does not like sin. He is going to judge it. And that same God who has been long-suffering is not going to be long-suffering forever, and that He's going to act in the affairs of men. And so when they see things, again, we've talked about it before, you can't look up in the night sky and see all the things that are moving about in the heavens and not realize that there was an organized plan by the Almighty Creator to put everything in decent order, to move about and not slam into it. That we didn't just happen to be on any one of the many planets in our solar system, but the one that can sustain life, the one that has water, it has light, it has heat, it has resources for us to live, breathe, work, be sustained. for all of us. It's not by accident, and we realize that, and it's not by accident that God will take care of you day by day. If God knows the name of every sparrow, and he knows when every one of them fall, or how a piece of flower that blooms in the springtime is clothed better than Solomon in all his glory, then the Almighty God loves you, knows your name, knows your need, and knows where you are, and is ready to take care of you when the brook dries up. Many of us forget who sent us down to the brook to be supplied. Many of us forget that God is the one that sent Elijah down there. Elijah's down there, and I'm going to tell you, when it doesn't rain, things dry up. Here in Central Florida, haven't had a lot of rain. Got a little sprinkle this morning. And you know, it only takes 3 drops to keep half the Baptist church home, so it's not full today. But if you're home listening to me by radio, and it wasn't really that bad, you would have got 3 drops on you, you'd have been all right, okay? Now, I'll just say, for all of us, we needed some rain, didn't we? Now, if you cut grass, you were saying, let it die, Lord, let it die, right? I don't have to go out and cut it, you know. But again, I think for all of us, it's nice to see it get a little green, and it needs a little bit of water to be supplied. I'll just say for all of us, it's important to realize when there's no rain, things dry up. You know, rain, for all of us, we need to understand that God is supplying the need of Elijah. Do you know what the need of grass and flowers and trees, they need? Life-sustaining. You know, every cattle, everybody in the field, you know what they need? God took something from the earth in judgment of a king that they needed. And when there was a scarce supply of it, can I just tell you, Elijah didn't live the rest of his time without water. Water, they got water from wells and other places. But sometimes we really worry when the brook dries up. When it doesn't just flow on by and we get to hear the sound of water. You know, one of the men in our church has a app on his phone, and every time like he makes money on an investment, it like chimes and rings like a coin. And, you know, his phone ain't making much noise anymore. It made a lot of noise when I first met him, and I asked him, what is that noise? He's like, that's when the stock market's going up. You know, I was thinking they ought to make one now for that phone that goes, you know, when it's going out. But, you know, they don't do that because that's not positive, is it? But we think, again, if it ain't flowing and it ain't coming in like it used to, somehow God's not real or God's not blessing. Listen, God's doing exactly what he said he would do in the end times. God is not looking to hurt the Christian. He has your name, and he knows you have need, and he has promised in Philippians 4:19 to supply. Let me read it to you this morning. I want to remind you of it. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, I've got it marked, so I'll just read it to you today. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 19, it says, but my God, is he your God this morning? If you can claim him as your own because you've trusted in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has somebody that says, but my God, it's personal, shall supply all your need according to his riches in where? Glory by Christ Jesus. We forget, and you say, preacher, boy, you can get preaching about this a lot here lately. It's because people get worried a lot here lately. We forget just how powerful our God is, and that he knows our name and knows who we are and where we are, and he wants to supply not our wants, but our what? Our needs. Now, I don't know. I don't see anywhere here that Elijah's making requests for dinner to the ravens. I want you to bring me chicken today. Now, can you imagine when the ravens showed up with meat? By the way, he didn't eat 3 times a day, did he? Morning and evening. Sometimes God's not supplying my needs. Well, God supplies the prophet's needs here, and he's only eating twice a day. It sounds like he's still doing pretty good, amen? But I'm just going to tell you, the first time he showed up with some skunk meat, I might turn my nose up at it, right? You say, can you eat skunk meat? Well, you can eat pretty much anything else. I guess it depends on what part of the skunk it came off of. Hey, I'm just going to tell you, we don't think about that. It ain't always, you know what ravens do? They pick dead things. they take meat and things from different areas. Now, I don't know if there was some meat cutter down the street and the ravens were picking it up on his windowsill or getting the scraps and bringing it to Elijah, but either way, he's really being supplied by scraps, by the leftovers. Can I just tell you, there ain't nothing wrong with leftovers. Many of the supplied needs that many of us have been taken care of. I'm just going to tell you, I thank God for the cafeteria and the cafeteria ladies that work here. Through Bible college, I lived off of a lot of leftovers. God took care of me. I didn't have enough to go out and get everything, but a lot of times when we had served out lunch and there were things left over, rather than throw it away, they gave it to a Bible college student. I was that Bible college student. I hadn't lost any weight. God took care of me. God will take care of you on leftovers. You say, preacher, why are you getting on this? Because sometimes we worry. You know, when you're hungry, you're not worried about what it is, just if you got something. And you'll realize that your need has been fulfilled. I've heard of preachers that, you know, God just, they, you know, things were going on and they were in the place that God sent them and they were there and they got around a table with their family and their children and the cupboards were empty and there was nothing in the refrigerator and they were going to sit there and they began to pray and thank God for the food that was not on the table or in the cupboards. And what happened? Somebody knocked on the door with groceries. And said, hey, God just said that you had a need and told me that I needed to bring some groceries over here. I hope these are a blessing to you. We weren't sure. Listen, when you're like that, anything's a blessing. And it makes it that much better that God knew what your need was and sent by somebody to shop for you. And it's not like Walmart home delivery. Not stuff you got up on your app and picked out yourself. It's God's home delivery when he takes care of the need and he delivers it. You say, preacher, you're getting on. I just want to say, number one, if you would, look at this scripture and think about this. Don't worry when the brook dries up. Don't worry about that. Look and listen for the word of God, because he's the one that sent you there. And if it's time to move, guess who's going to move you? God, in his will. And you're going to hear it from where? His word. Now, let me say this. There's a lot of people that move in their own will. And they didn't listen for the word of God. Don't blame God for places that you take yourself and you don't find supply because you're outside of his will. I don't mean to be mean this morning, but I just want you to know this. God's going to supply all your needs, but when you jump out in your wants and you get up over your head, that ain't God's fault. When you step out of his will and his way, listen, do you know what when you're going to be supplied and be taken care of? When you go back to where you left. You get back into his way and into his will and into his work where you left. You say, preacher, oh, you're just, no, I'm just going to simplify it you this morning. It's not that hard. Go where God tells you to go and stay there until he tells you to move. If God didn't tell you to go, you better stick it out where God told you to be at, because you may be moving yourself outside of God's will and into a place of danger, a place of no supply, a place of trouble, and that is a place that you should worry, because it's not a place that God wants you to be. You say, preacher, why are you getting on that? I'm just thinking, I believe we live in a day and age where people run from the brook before it's completely dry. I see it drying up, so it's time. I got an idea. I know there's a place where there's water. Well, how long is that water going to last? I want you to read on with me. He waits, and what happens in verse number 8? The brook dries up in verse 8, and God speaks up. Amen. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise thee, get thee to Zarephath. You know that God gives direction once the brook dries up, if you'll listen to him. Which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me. Now, I've heard a preacher say, that's how you know Elijah was from the south. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Can I tell you, I don't know about you, because everybody that I've ever heard preach always talks about the cakes, but when the creek dries up, the first thing the man of God wants is a cool drink of water. And when he comes to the town, he don't say, go in there and get that last piece of meal and the last piece of biscuit and make me a cake. He says, could you fetch me some water, because where I left was a dry place, but God sent me to a place with what? Water. You better be careful leaving one place that dried up for another dry place. You ought to go where God sends you, because that place will have what? Water. And she goes and fetches it and says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That sounds terrible. It sounds like her barrel meal had dried up. Do you know, for all of us, if we're drying up and there's things around us drying up, you know, we are usually worried about only what? Me. Do you know, when things are drying up, it ain't just drying up on you, it's drying up on everybody. The whole world had been without rain, and famine was setting in all the land. And most of the time, all we can do is cry the blues to us instead of look at people who are all in need and try to say, hey, God, how can I help others? God took care of the prophet. Now the prophet is sent to a place where a widow is going to take care of him. But listen, she's going to be taken care of also. Do you know, sometimes God moves us because there's others that have need of us being there? Do you know, oftentimes we don't like to think about others when we have troubled times. But most of the time we get so self-focused. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, you know, the greatest joys of this life is not when I get things anymore. Since I've been a daddy and a granddaddy, it ain't about what I get for Christmas. It's about what I get to give. And you know what God desperately wants to do in our lives? He wants to bring us to a place where we realize we have a need. Because he's a good God that wants to give and take care of all our needs and supply everything, and for us to recognize that it came from him. Do you know that Elijah said, oh, God will take care of me, I'm his prophet. But you know what Elijah gets to see? God will take care of anybody if they'll just follow God's will. He goes down to the widow's house, and look what the Bible says in verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, he listens to the desperate cry, there's not enough for me and my son, we're going to eat it and die. He says, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. After make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until that day, till the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Now, I don't know about you, but look at verse 16. They ate many days, but what's the Bible say about the barrel? And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by who? Elijah. Can I just tell you this morning that God's a good God and he'll do what he says he's going to do? You know, we always think about God's only going to do what he says he's going to do because he says he's going to bring destruction on the earth, and we're going to have famine, and we're going to have hard times, and we're going to have all those things. You know, God's a good God, and he not only does what he says about those things in judgment, but he's a good God. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He took care of that. He said that, hey, don't worry, that old serpent that was in the garden, he bit the heel, but boy, we're going to crush his head. Do you know that Jesus did that on Calvary for you and me? The same God that, listen, he is a good God of judgment, but he's a God of grace and mercy and loves and gives and takes care of his own. For all of us this morning, it'd be good for us to understand that God's word, when we've got God's word on it, we can bank it and we can hold on to it, and we can just, listen, I'm going to tell you, this widow lady cashed this check every morning and every evening as she went to the barrel, and it only seemed like, listen, I don't know how she was, but every day when she scooped the last bit, I guarantee you, in her heart, in her mind, she wondered to herself, will it be there tomorrow? And it was for many days, the word of God says. And it did that according to the word of the Lord that was spoken by Elijah. For all of us, it would do us good to trust God and to see him work. And when he does, listen, Elijah is blessed. The widow and her son are blessed. Do you know that others can be blessed by a faithful life? Others all around us in this world who are hurting right now, how in the world does your neighbor get by without Jesus Christ? How is your neighbor getting on in this time of famine around the world and with a little bit less than we've had before, and it might get worse before it gets better? How are they getting on? And sometimes we're so focused on us, we're not worried about the next door neighbor who is dying and on their way to hell, and they're worried and they got fears and they got worried. Listen, we've got a God to grip a hold of. We got promises to cash in the bank and to put down and say, God, believe I can do it. I believe that you said you would, and I believe and trust you. What about the neighbor? You're down at the store. Times are getting rough, and they're talking about, listen, you know what that was? They opened a great big door for you to tell them about a God who can take care of all your needs. And you say, listen, God didn't just do it now. Pastor Carter gets up and does it all the time. He'll say, hey, I remember a time when there was what? Oh, yeah, it's his relative, Jimmy Carter, right? And he don't like that, but I don't blame him. Amen. I mean, listen, you say this is bad. It ain't bad like Jimmy Carter bad. Not yet. I haven't had to get up there and try to figure out where I'm going to get gas from. The interest rates ain't at 15% yet. You say, preacher, you telling me there's a time? Most of you lived through a time that was worse than this. And all of a sudden now God can't do it. He did it back then. We never missed a week to run the buses. We had gas in the buses every week. And if God could do it back then he can do it now. You say, well, gas costs so much more. Yeah, it does. But I got a big God. How big is your God this morning? He can dry up the brook, and then he can move us to a place that's got a deep well to draw water. Do you know that there's not one thing in this passage that ever says that they ran out of water in Zarephath? There's a reason that God sent the prophet down there. They kept pulling from that well because that well was dug deep. You can go back in the scripture and find when they dug those wells. And that well was one of the deepest wells they dug in the Old Testament. Can I just tell you, I'm thankful for some men of God in my life who dug deep wells before I ever showed up in the town. And I've got promises of God that I can hold on to way into the future when the brook dries up. There's a place I can go to, the Word of God. You don't understand this morning. We just pick it up and bring it in. It sits in the pew before you. But there are people that died so that I could have this book. There are people that gave their lives in copying it out so that I had a perfect word of God to stand before you today and tell you that God is real, that his book is real, that his promises are real, that he's a God that can be trusted this morning. Too many times we just think that well is just some old well. No, it's a perfect well. It's a place that'll never run dry. When we get to heaven, listen, the rest that we'll take and what we'll be judged by will be from the well that is settled before the foundation of the world in heaven. Listen, every word of this book is recorded in a heavenly place. And one day I'll get to heaven and I'll say, it is the perfect book. It's just like you have it here in heaven. Hey, too many of us, we get shriek under all the push of the world that maybe this book ain't the real book and that we need to update it. I don't think heaven's updating it. For you and I this morning, I would have worries if I worried about my well. I would have worries if I had a book that I didn't trust. But I've got the word of the Lord in his word. And I'll trust it till he comes. I want you to read on with me, and I've got to hasten. I want you to see this. He presses towards the end. He says, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I don't know about you, but my dad would always say, I said, what did that man die of, Daddy? He'd say, lack of breath. Everybody that's ever gone out into eternity did what? Stop breathing. They took their last breath. This boy, he ain't old enough to seemingly go out there, but in a time of they ain't getting all the nourishment they need, they're drinking scarcity of water. Even though the well was there, they were rationing it because it hadn't rained. This boy gets sick and sorely sick and dies. In verse 18 it says, and she said, this is the mama, listen, mama gets upset, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee? O thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to stay my son? Look, and to slay my son. You say, preacher, why does she bring it up? You know that every one of us got a guilty conscience this morning. Every time something bad happens, you know what we think? God is judging us. do you think God was judging this widow lady? Or do you just think natural effects taken and then God has to step in and intervene? Do you know that people, because of sin, God is not the God of death. God is a God of life. He's the one that said, let there be light. He's the one that came forth and breathed the breath of life in the nostril. It was man, it was us that thrust ourselves into sin and death. God was the one that warned us and stay away from that tree. You ought not go down there. It's a terrible thing. I'm the God of life. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to ever have to worry about that. And it's the same God that when we fell into sin and death came upon us and we have to worry about when we take our last breath, that same God sent his son from heaven to die on Calvary and to pay our sin debt, to redeem us back into himself so that we didn't have to worry about death. He came from heaven and conquered death, hell, and the grave. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be conquered is death. God will put it down and cast it out into the lake of fire, never to be brought forth again. I'm looking forward to an eternity with no death. But folks, it's a reality today. Every one of us have to worry about two types of death. This one where we take our last breath, and a spiritual death that will cast us into outer darkness. Can I just tell you, listen, you're worried more about taking your last one in this body. And the one you ought to really be worried about is the second death. Because that one is eternal. That one you'll spend a life without God. You'll spend a life being tormented for eternity. But I'm thankful for the Bible. It says, but God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, this man of God, and I'm not going to read it all, but if I could tell you, you could go in and read the passage. He says, let me have him. He takes the boy, lays him down on his own bed, and stretches himself out over the boy three times. He said, what was he doing? Holy CPR. Christ's power of resurrection. Hey, can I just tell you, for all of us today, we think that we got something when we're just pushing. If we have the power as human beings to push air into somebody's lungs and to thump them on the chest hard enough to bring this old body back, then God Almighty, who put the spirit inside of us that told us not to do the wrong thing, is the one that came from heaven and has the power that whosoever will shall call upon his name, would resurrect us, not just bodily, but in the soul, and we can live with him forever. You say, preacher, you're getting wound up for nothing. That's the same old story. Listen, you get wound up if you want to. I'm not going to listen. Listen, you better listen, because there's coming a day when every one of us will face the truth that God is real, that he sits upon the throne in heaven, and if we haven't bowed our knee to him and is here, we are going to bow our knee one day. Now, you can do it when you bow your knee in heaven, or you can bow it here on earth at the white, great white throne judgment and be cast into outer darkness. I choose to bow my knee here on this earth. There was a day in my life when I realized I was a sinner and I was lost and I was going to die and go to hell. But somebody told me that Jesus had come and he paid everything, all for all my sin. And that if I could put my faith and trust in him, that he was the Son of God, that he did really come and lay his life down on Calvary and raise. He was risen again on the third day, and that he's alive in the heavens today. Amen. That if I put my faith and trust in that work, his death, burial, and resurrection, that he would save me if I caught. Listen, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. If Elijah can claim God's promises for meat and water, I can claim his promise for eternal life. If Elijah can claim his promise, listen, that promise that for that little cake and that little bit of water on a daily basis and for that thing never to fail, can I just tell you, I claim on a daily basis what God promised me, I got it. I walked an aisle and I bowed my head and I asked God to give it to me, and he gave me eternal life. Do you know what he told that woman at the well? It's everlasting water that springs up into eternal life. I can tell you there was a day that there was a famine in my soul, and I walked an aisle and I asked God to give me living water that I might never run dry. The person I called on in that living water's name is Jesus Christ. If you are here today and you are without Christ, folks, I listen, according to the Word of God, If you've never been saved, you've never called out his name, according to the word of God, the Bible says that you are in a spiritual famine. You are away from God without him, and you are on your way to a devil's hell. Not because God wants you to go there, but it's just the simple facts of sin. Listen, sin brings death. Not just in the body, but in the spirit as well. And the remedy for that is for you to simply put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, don't make sense. Well, does it make sense that God commands and says, I'm going to supply all your need? Isn't the greatest need of man a spiritual need? Did Elijah pay anything for the brook until it dried up? Not one thing. Did he pay for any drop of meat that the ravens brought? Not one thing. Did he pay for any of the cake? Did he pay for the water that she fetched him? Not one thing. Do you think this widow that let him stay in the house paid a dime to the doctor that stretched himself and her son took breath and life again? Not one thing. Listen, God provides what we need, and he's always done it at zero charge. So why is it hard for us to wrap our minds around that a holy God who loves us, who promised to supply all our needs, would make it hard for us to get saved? Does it make sense that God would have us charge a certain amount, or you've got to knock so many doors, you have to give so much money, you have to work in Sunday school so much, you have to get baptized? None of that is true. The Bible says if you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he has been risen from the dead, he says, thou shalt what? Be saved. For all of us, the gospel, the true gospel or the truth of Jesus Christ is free because God knew we had need of it. This morning, God has supplied your need of salvation. Have you taken it? Listen, Elijah would have starved to death with a stream and meat dropped off daily had he not eaten it, had he not received it unto himself. And for every one of us, we're so worried the stream is going to go dry, we won't drink the water. We're so worried that everything in this world, and I'm going to lose my house, my car, I've lost all my retirement money. Well, what about your never-dying soul? Have you gotten sure that you know where you're going to spend eternity? Because listen, that retirement plan and that rest is much more important than the one on this side of heaven. And if you're here, you say, well, what will people think if I get saved this morning? They'll think you're just like the rest of us. You needed to be saved. They'll think you're just like the rest of us. You're a sinner that needs to be saved. Everybody in the building that's ever been saved has taken a moment of their time to let somebody take this Bible and show them how to be saved. You would be no different than the rest of us if you did that this morning. This morning, the invitation is simply that. We invite you to come and let us take a Bible. We'll meet you in the front and do that. If you're one of God's people and you've been saved, but listen, troubles have come in your life, the brook is dried up at your house, and you need God to supply, then why don't you get in his word? You say, preacher, that don't make sense. How's God going to change things? Well, his word has wisdom and knowledge for us. It'll direct us on our path. That's what it's promised to do. Shouldn't we look for it? You say, preacher, what about church? Yeah, church helps. That's when we open the word. It'll give you some direction. You ought to be in church. You ought to pray and talk to God and ask him to give you clear sight and clear hearing to hear what he says from his word. You can do that this morning. You don't have to wait till you get home or wait another day. You can walk the aisle and get down on the altar and say, God, I'm in a bad place. I feel like I'm away from you. I haven't heard from you in a long time, but I'd like to hear from you today. Why don't you do that this morning? Why don't you speak to God? If you need to be saved, I beg you this morning, do not leave this place lost and on your way to hell. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can go to heaven because of what Jesus did for you on Calvary. Would you stand to your feet this morning? About to have the invitation, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to beg you, after I finish praying, if you're lost or a Christian, when I finish praying, would you make your way to the front? Come and meet me in the front. Let us help you this morning. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I know the musicians are on their way, God, but I pray this morning that even now, Holy Spirit of God, that people wouldn't wait, that they would step out and come and do business with God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everything's ready. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you slip out and come towards me? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. If you're here this morning and you've been saved but you've never been baptized, let us take it and show you what you need to do this morning to be baptized. As Brother Josh sings, you step out and come.